Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, as we close camp meeting 2017. Did you have a great time? It didn't sound like it. Did you have a great time? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Have your seat. Praise God. I'm going to read verse 18. I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And we found out that the church has been given authority. The Father builds the church, the family. Now, in our family, we have family business. That is, every responsible son ought to be involved in this family. You know, a family will have a business, maybe in the natural, where the father maybe makes sure that everybody is taking care of something that is common to the family. Do we have a family business? Something that all of us, we must do it. Everybody. You know, I see many times in many churches, not most, there's a misplacement of priority. Misplacement of priority. And you find the church trying to duplicate the work of worldly organizations, trying to do the work of the university, sometimes of the government, sometimes the work of the schools, the NGOs. That's not your work. You must know family business. What is family business? This one is our family. You cannot do this except you are a member of this family. That is, every one of us, we are shareholders in this company. Hallelujah. You know, you have what you call sleeping partners. There are some sleeping partners in this company. They don't even know they are part of it. So what is this work? What is this work that all the family were involved with? In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, Brother Alex read that earlier. He said, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. The Greek word katatismos, to equip. So your church, the local church, if you're a pastor, hear this, should be equipping. The word equip means to make fit for something. To make fit for the work of the ministry. For the equipping of the saints. For the work of the ministry. In other words, the fruit of ministry is ministry. If you sow a seed of corn, what do you get back? Corn. The fruit of ministry is ministry. In other words, the local church ought to be producing the fourfold ministry gift all the time. That's the job of the local church. The local church is not sent to raise entrepreneurs. You missed it. You are reading the wrong curriculum. How many of you did let's just send this thing out. They call it syllabus. When we were writing WAEC, you get syllabus. And then you go and read the syllabus of all the school start exams in the 70s. You won't be called brilliant. Your job is not raising entrepreneurs and organizing seminars for how to make batik and how to cook. How will God give you his charisma? And that's what you are doing with it. And in fact, the funny thing is that we can never beat the world at it. So why waste your time? It's a rat race. And most of the things we are trying to do is from the world. Sometimes some things some people do in the churches is like reality TV show. Everybody's just fooling around. We have to get serious. For the work of the ministry. The fruit of ministry is ministry. The fruit of ministry cannot be commerce. Because you don't need ministry to do commerce. The fruit of ministry cannot be politics. You don't need ministry to be a politician. The fruit of ministry cannot be academics. The fruit of ministry cannot be sports. The fruit of ministry has to be ministry. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. The truth is that many people will hear this and they'll just be strong-headed. You know why? Because they don't want to change. They don't want to adjust. A preacher must learn to adjust. Years ago, I told you I taught a series. In fact, not even years ago, even recently, there are things I will teach and I'll correct myself. Why would you be thinking whatever you say must stand forever? Says who? I taught a series for a few months. Can you remember that series? Giving and, 2000, was year 2000. Giving and receiving. It was a hot series. I got a hold of the book by Brother Hagin, Midas Touch, and I found that I taught error. I told the tapes guy, withdraw it. And I came up to say I was wrong. A series. It was not a teaching. You know, when I teach, I teach. I teach. So imagine, I'm not a teacher like many of you, but I teach. Praise God. So I had to withdraw it. Absolutely nothing wrong. Our book, this gospel, we had to adjust some things in there. We removed some things. If you check in this one, we are 490. We changed it. We changed some things that you will see between us. This is where it's not there again. Because we changed it. Where the book, Who We Are in Christ. We wrote something, and a brother, a pastor, a preacher, a very good friend of mine, a younger friend, he called me and said, Pastor, that scripture, I don't think that's the application. I said, what do you mean? Because I don't give up easily. So what do you mean? So I quickly checked what he was saying. And I looked at other cross references. He said, but sir, this is we were on it. Where's Stephen? Where are you? We're on it. Okay, stand up there. That's the guy. Stand up. You're an apostle. He corrected me. Now I preached for you. And I canceled, but he corrected me. I argued with you for the time. You remember, I argued with you. I said, no. He said, but Pastor, I'm just saying that if you look at the look, I said, you are right, though. So I quickly called him immediately on the phone. I said, Moji, that thing was not come out. Remove that page immediately. We have zeroed. Interestingly, what he said wasn't fundamental. But it was a fact that we misplaced. So what we preach, we practice. Hallelujah. When we say change, change. Hallelujah. Change. Make the adjustments. You see, if Jesus is all you preach, there's no ego. Don't protect yourself. Protect the message. Hallelujah. You see, some small boys, when we were doing crusades, they were not grown up enough to be sinners. They can't even change what they are saying. They are not mature enough to say, you know, you have to learn to change. Brother Hagin wrote a book. I read that book in 94, Heart of Intercession. That book changed my life. In fact, I read it with the book, Alone with God by Pastor Bishop Waleoke, and I read, and I couldn't sleep. I prayed. Brother Hagin came a few years after. He said he got more light. He had to adjust things in the same book. So the fact that he blessed people does not mean it cannot have more light. Don't say because people, that message, it is my key message in the body of Christ. I cannot adjust it. No, you can. You can adjust it. Some more light will come. Hallelujah. Some more light to come. Sometimes it's not extra light, but extra explanation. A clearer explanation. You must be humble. A minister of the gospel cannot afford to be proud. It's when you are proud, you start saying that, do you know how old I am? Start to look as if you can. The man of God that corrected me. I probably am double his age. Not in the faith. In the faith is too far. But he's a man of God. And what he said was right. Hallelujah. Follow what I'm saying. And so he must also do the same thing for people because they're going to do it to you. So we have family business. For the perfecting of the saints. For the another fellow. Where is Pastor Wardman? Where are you? Babalala, are you here? There was something I wrote out on this gospel. And I mentioned, was he safe instead of Enosh? Where is he? He called my attention. He said, Pastor, I think this is wrong. I said, what do you mean? Don't forget, I don't give up easily. What do you mean? That was some years ago, about 5-6 years ago. I said, what do you mean? He said, but this, sir, check it again, sir. He said, I'm humbly saying it. I said, yeah. And I told our pastors, remember? I said, you guys didn't note this. How did you not see it? Remember that time? I was really angry. I said, how did you not see this? You want us to mislead the body of Christ? And we adjusted it. Praise God. It was in this gospel, the e-book, before it became a book. Learn to adjust. Praise God. As long as the book you are writing is not the Bible, change. Hallelujah. Change. Praise God. Okay, let's get back to this. So, family business. What is it? For the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. What is this work? Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Notice what started it in Matthew 28:18. He said, all authority is given me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. That means the reason for the authority is for the gospel. The reason for the believer's authority is not for you to make it in life. That's not the believer's authority. The reason for the believer's authority is not for you to be something in Nigeria or in America or in Asia. The reason for that authority is the gospel. Are you still there? In Luke 24:47, he said, therefore repentance and remission of sins will be preached in this authority in all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In John 20:23, as the Father has sent me, so I send I you. He said, whosoever sins that you remit are remitted unto them. The ones that you retain are retained unto them. So it's consistent. You can't be found doing something else and call it ministry. Whatever you are doing, every church service, listen now, every church service, every prayer meeting must lead to this. Remove salvation of souls from the work of the church. The church will be a mere organization. So family business is for every one of us to be engaged in the preaching of the gospel. Any church that does not make the preaching of the gospel and the teaching of the gospel the priority of its members is a social club. Is a social club where you come and do businessmen's meeting, businesswomen's meeting, women's guild, virtually everything in the 80s. That we forsook in what we call the Orthodox churches. That we said, what is all this? Women's Day, Father's Day, Sister's Day, Cousin's Day, Niece's Day. All those things we said no. And we went under the tree to meet. And we went in the classrooms to meet. We didn't care the kind of building it was. All those things we saw in what we call the Orthodox churches, they are now being done in Pentecostal charismatic churches. In fact, with greater glory. We have to change. The work of the ministry is for every believer. When I got saved, when I received Christ, no one had told me that evening, that same evening, they took me out for evangelism. There was no process. That's just what you should do. So, no church worth its salt should have an evangelism department. No church worth its salt should have a prayer department. Because those are two things that every believer ought to be engaged in. Family business. So I want to share a thought as we close camp meeting. So it's a family business. See, I'm involved in our Father's business. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 29. David was anointed as king. There's something about when God chose you or chooses you and gives you a responsibility. There will be, Brother Hagin will say, the preach will be in you. The teach will be in you. That's why I always laugh when it happens that maybe a minister of the gospel, maybe he falls into an open error. Because every minister errs. But an open error. And then they say he must not preach. You will destroy him. What he needs is to preach. No. You are not qualified again to preach. That's not true. Now, if he's rebellious, we might treat him that way, okay? But if he falls into a sin, no. We don't. Keeping him away from preaching is destroying him. That's why hardly do people ever return to those offices again. Praise the Lord. One day I'm going to teach this in the body of Christ, years to come. I learned this from Brother Hagin myself. Will you destroy him? So, hear this. David is anointed as king. And so the teach, the preach, he had immediately, because God had chosen him, he had to, there was a stirring that made him take control of the activities of Israel without being officially chosen. So he heard, he went with his, to the battlefield to take food to his brothers. And he saw someone. He saw someone threatening Israel by Goliath. He said, who is this? Why was he talking like that? Because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He was taking responsibility. So who is this person? So as he began to ask questions, his brother, Eliab, so what do you want? In verse 29. So what have I done? Is there not a reason? Hallelujah. Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason? Is this not worth it? If I do this, is it not worth it? Sometimes you look at your life and you see other Christians who excel in other things, in their business, in their career. And then you begin to compare yourself. You are involved in reaching the lost. You are involved in prayer. Some of us, you've left your comfort. You went somewhere to plant a church. You went inside somewhere. You stayed behind in maybe your former school to keep pastoring. Some traveled out of their country to another nation where they don't even know anybody. Then you look at your other friends living in comfort, who have not left their own comfort zones to serve the Lord. And then sometimes you ask yourself, is this worth it? But I'm asking you, is there not a cause? Is this cause not weighty enough to demand the sacrifice that you give it? Is it not worth it? You don't compare yourself with people that don't have this cause for living. That's why I've said this many times. You cannot use success and ministry in the same sentence. It's total aberration. Ministry is qualified by obedience. And sometimes obedience can lead you not to have success in the natural. You need to realize that. There can be people doing so wonderfully well in the natural, and God has no pleasure in what they are doing. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason? The work of the ministry is not for chicken-hearted people. You must be ready. The work of the ministry. I was telling a young man who told me how people were speaking against him. I said, if you don't like that, stay out of this work. Speaking against you, that's the Alpha and Omega of ministry. They will speak against you. They will call you names. That's normal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I was younger, I used to respond. Now, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Praise God. I have a purpose to fulfill. I'm in the pursuit of purpose. See, there's some things. Do you know, as David said that, and Eliab was speaking, the next verse, he just turned away from him. So I said, learn to turn away. He just talked to somebody else. There's no point engaging scoffers. There's no point. There's no point engaging people who are out to ridicule you. There are three kinds of people. Dr. Damina told me this, and I was blessed by it. He said, there are three kinds of people that you find. He said, there are some people that are ignorant because they don't know. He said, with them, you are patient. You explain. He said, there are those who do not know that they do not know. He said, such folks, you may give them some time. They don't know. They are, and they argue. But there's a thought set. They know they are wrong. But they feel bad you are the one that is right. And they will oppose anything you say. If you say Jesus is Lord, they will say he's not Lord. The church people, don't bother yourself. You'll be wasting precious time. And many of you waste, I see on Facebook, fighting. A war that nobody asks you to take. When you have, if somebody comes on your page and acts like an irritant, use B-L-O-C-K or D-E-L-E-T-E. That is how to walk in love on social media. You are following peace with all men. Hallelujah. When I was younger, I would take people on. Not necessary. They won't hear. Praise God. They won't hear. Glory to his name. Is there not a reason? David turned away from his brother and talked to someone else. Don't engage scoffers. Don't engage them. It's unnecessary. And many of them are cowards. That those are so cowardly. If you ask them, brother, you said this, can we talk about it from scripture? They'll say no. But they'll go on television to talk about it. You are a coward. If what you know, you are sure of it, we'll sit down and engage ourselves with the word of God. But if you cannot engage the truth, and you are going on social media to make noise, you are a coward. That's what you are. You must take a hold of, if something is the gospel, none of us has a personal right to it. I've told you many times, the scriptures are public documents. Nobody, not a single, not even Paul. Paul says, judge you what I say. Hallelujah. Luke included the experience at Berea for a purpose. To know that anyone that speaks from the scriptures must be open to scrutiny. People must check what you are saying. And check it properly. So don't bother your head about scoffers. There's no need. Like I told many of you, preach the truth. Stay with it. Preach it boldly, with gusto. That when you are, make it so clear. There was somebody that was telling me that he believes that the scriptures are, that there are places in the Bible for people to lose salvation. I said, I'm going to give you a material. I said, nobody can fault it. I gave him. He couldn't read the whole book. He's a senior minister in Nigeria. I said, read the page where we explain Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10. He texted me back. He said, actually, I can't fault it. I said, I told you. You can't preach the truth so clearly. Arguing doesn't make any sense. Make it so clear that the doubter will know that he's an anointed doubter. Hallelujah. That's why on social media, notice that there are few things, there are many things I don't teach there. Because the medium is too limited. You are only going to create something in the hearts of people against the message. Always refer them to where or how they can hear more clearly. There are some things when you explain them and tell people to go and listen to me. When they go on and listen, the only reason why they will say no is because they are just knowers. They are knowers. They just want to say no. Hallelujah. David turned away from Eliab. Learn to turn away. Tell your neighbor, say, learn to turn away. Don't be busy. Don't bother your head. Don't disturb yourself. Is there not a cause? There's a reason for it. Because the essence of some folks is to engage you and make you lose your focus. Make you get distracted. Before you know it, everything you'll be preaching is you're responding to them. Everything you're writing, you're just getting distracted. Don't do it. Stay with the work. What did I say? Stay with the work. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? Stay with the work. Is there not a cause? Look at 2 Corinthians 12, 2. So you don't, when you feel this way about the gospel, it's not strange. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Verse 13, I had no rest in my spirit. Hallelujah. I had no rest in my spirit because I found no Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went thence unto Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. This is not for your personal life. This is about ministry. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that are that perish. 16. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death. To the other, the savor of life unto life. We are sufficient for these things. Let's take verse 17 together. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but out of sincerity and as of God in the sight of God speak we in Christ. Hallelujah. You must distinguish yourself. The word corrupt the word there is used for those who peddle the gospel, who collect dollars for Psalm 91. Say, we are not like them. We are not like those who say, come and put the money here to connect with the anointing. Say, we are not like them. We preach the word of God in sincerity. Is there not a cause? There's a cause. Everyone who takes money in exchange for the revelation of God's word or for a blessing, they are putting doubts on the gospel. It's an offense. It's an offense. The apostles were so strong against it. Hallelujah. That I had no rest in my spirit. I had no rest in my spirit. Is there not a cause? There's a reason for it. Acts 20, verse 22. Hallelujah. Acts 20, verse 22. Paul says, now behold, I go bound in the spirit. So I say bound in the spirit. That means I'm compelled in my spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me, save the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. And let's take verse 24 together. Come on, everybody, let's go. And none of these things move me. Hallelujah. Go on. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. When you have the gospel, nothing should move you. Not even your circumstances should move you. Say, none of these things move me. I don't count my life dear unto myself. I must testify of the gospel of grace. The grace of God. Hallelujah. Is there not a cause? There is a reason for it. Jesus Christ died for all men. All men must hear about it. Jesus Christ died for all men. All men must hear about it. Jesus Christ gave us his life. All believers must know about it. The Father is our Father. The God is our Father. All men who are in Christ must know about it. Is there not a cause? There's a reason for it. Sometimes you look at the sacrifice you have to make. Sometimes you have to leave work and go and attend to that fellowship. Sometimes you have to leave your job, and your job you close very late, and you have to go attend to that work. Sometimes you ask yourself, my God, is this worth it? No, it is. It's more than worth it. There is a cost. You must never regret obeying God. Never. You must never regret obeying God. Never. You must never regret obeying God. It must be the joy of your heart. In Acts 21, when he told Paul, don't go. There are sufferings in this place. He said in verse 13, Acts 21, he said, Paul answered and said to them, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. At that point, they stopped convincing him. There's a way you can talk to people and know that, this one has signed. He said, look, these ones you are praying, don't make it a prayer point. I'm an offering for Jesus. What he has done for me is worth this. I will go into all the world and preach this. Hallelujah! Is there not a cause? Someone died for us. Is the more reason why we must live for him. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10:3. He says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, referring to the preaching of the gospel. Pay attention. Notice something Paul said. In two places. He said, I count not my life dead. The second place, he said, I am ready. So say, I'm ready. So,
You don't get ready during war. You get ready before. You must have a ready lifestyle. No matter what it is. Hallelujah. You must be ready. So when he says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, because the work of ministry is a spiritual warfare. It's not wearing suit and wearing tie. Like Uncle Larry will tell him, he's doing, that's not ministry. Some people know how to wear suits, but they don't know how to pray. Hallelujah. Watch this now. 2 Corinthians 10. Are you there? Are you there? 2 Corinthians 10. Look at this. For the weapons of our warfare, verse 4, are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, having in a readiness. Hallelujah. Having in a readiness, hallelujah, to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That is, I am ready to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. I'm ready. There must be a readiness. Ministry is not comfort. It's not comfort. You must be ready. You must be ready. You must set your gaze. You must set your face like a flint. And be ready. And say, no opposition can stop me. In Ephesians chapter 6 and 10, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Take unto yourself the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the devil in the evil day. And he says, put on the whole armor of God. What's he talking about? He's talking about the preaching of the gospel. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's the preaching of the gospel. That's not in your office and in your family. No. It's in the preaching of the gospel. It's a wrestle. If God sends you to a city, there's a wrestle there. If he sends you to a nation, there's a wrestling there. There will be a contention there against what you're doing. It's never a smooth ride. But we win. I said we win. I said we win. Hallelujah. We win. Glory to God. We put out the word. You must be ready. Is there not a cause? Please, for me, I close. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? You must be ready to contend what men throw at you. You must be ready to contend what they throw back at you. Number one, you must be ready to avenge. That is to preach. To resist false information. We are not just called to preach the gospel. We are also called to defend it. We are also called to protect it. Jude 3 says, contend earnestly for the faith that was once and for all delivered to all saints. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. He's talking about preaching. You must be ready to avenge. You must be ready to always preach. Someone who is ready, he doesn't go and get ready. So, Miss, can you share with us? Say, you didn't tell me. You have given 24 hours notice. I'm ready. Hallelujah. I went for a conference one time, and I also preached on a Sunday, on a Monday. So on the Sunday, they came to me very early. They said, sir, the man is not coming. Can you preach? And I said, no problem. And the thing is, oftentimes when I go for a program, I get to know the theme when I'm there. So I asked the associate pastor, I said, what is the theme of the conference again? He felt like dropping. He said, just tell me the theme. He mentioned it. I'm always ready. As long as it's the Bible, I'm always ready. Sometimes I ask our pastors when we go to, I say, what's the thing? And where I go to bed, what's the thing? Faith in Christ. I said, no problem. As long as it's in Christ, I'm ready to preach. Hallelujah. I live ready. I live ready. Learn to pray in the Spirit. Paul says, I thank my God. 1 Corinthians 14:18. I speak with tongues more than you all. That's why he told them in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all supplication, prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching there unto the perseverance for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me. Hallelujah. To make boldly, to make known boldly the mystery of the gospel. When you pray in the Spirit, you are setting a defense of the gospel. You are getting yourself bold. Remember the prayer in Acts 4. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness, signs and wonders will be done through the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they finished praying, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak the word of God. Hallelujah. Prayer reinforces the ministry. Learn to pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Learn to pray in the Spirit. Learn to pray in the Spirit. Learn to pray in the Spirit. Glory to God. Learn to pray in the Spirit. Is there not a cost to pray in the Spirit? Every time of the day, there is a reason. Is there not a cost to give your wealth and your resources for the gospel to reach the nations? There's a cost. Is there not a cost where people will speak against you, call you names, defame you? There's a reason for it. And stay with that reason. Let no one discourage you. Hallelujah. I can never be discouraged. Never. 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 I've outgrown that. I can never be discouraged. Amen. As you leave this camp meeting, go and change lives. Go and change lives. I pray for you that you start seeing people in a different light. In the name of Jesus, you see people in a different light. Your eyes will see Christ in the world. Your eyes will see His word all over the world. I pray for you, as you leave this camp meeting, you will never live a purposeless day. There will be no day of your life you will live purposelessly. In the name of Jesus, every day of your life will be an addition in the kingdom of God. Every day of your life, you will promote the gospel of Christ. There will be no wasted day for the rest of your life. I pray for you, every journey you take and undertake will be towards the progress of the gospel. In the name of Jesus, you will not enter into strange relationships. You will not enter into strange partnerships. All your partnerships will further the gospel. In the name of Jesus, if it's in business, God will provide men that will help the cause of the gospel. In the name of Jesus, if it's in your career, men are given to you to further the cause of the gospel. In the name of Jesus, you will never live one more purposeless day for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship Him. We'll change your life. We'll change your life. Come on, sing it. With the gospel of Christ, we'll change your lives. Come on now. We'll raise a man
who loves the Spirit.
Sing that song.
By the Spirit of the Lord, we reach the world.
We'll change your lives. Come on, everybody.
We'll change your lives. We'll change your lives.